My brothers and sisters in the Lord, today we have the wonderful parable of the Good Samaritan. And it's important for us to understand that as Jesus is telling these parables, they're not being told as simply fairy tales. They're based on the lived experience of the Jewish people. And so they could relate sometimes better than we can relate because they knew all the background story that Jesus was telling. But in order to really understand the parable, we have to start from the beginning of how the parable was initiated. A young scholar of the law, a lawyer, comes to Jesus with this question. He's probably a Pharisee, because the Pharisees believed in eternal life, the Sadducees did not. And it's interesting, my brothers and sisters, he wasn't coming to Jesus for a clarification. He wasn't coming for Jesus in order to come to greater faith. He was coming to Jesus in order to find him in a trap, to trick him. And so he asked the question, what must he do? And as any good teacher, Jesus throws the question back to him. You are a scholar of the law. What does the law say? And the young man quotes Deuteronomy 6, as we heard in the gospel today. The Shema, the prayer that every good Jew knew because it was part of their ritual prayers. And Jesus basically says to him, you've got it right, A plus. Do this and you shall live. But then the lawyer comes back, like any good lawyer. He wanted to justify himself. And who is my neighbor? I am not a lawyer, my brothers and sisters, but I am told one of the responsibilities of a good lawyer is to define the limits of liability. Define the limits of liability. Define the limits of who is my neighbor? Who am I morally responsible to take care of? And once I reach that limit, to hell in a handbasket with everyone else. And so that's what he was asking. What is that limit of liability? The limit to mercy? And that's when Jesus responds with the parable that we're so familiar with. And the Jewish people would have been very familiar with this sort of a story. Because many individuals traveled that particular road between Jerusalem and Jericho. It was a road that was 17 miles long. The road was a very treacherous one. It went through a rocky mountain sort of terrain, a lot of caverns and bends in the road for individuals to hide behind. It also was a road that began in Jerusalem, which is about 2,500 feet above sea level, and it ends in Jericho, which is 800 feet below sea level. You think we're low here. Jericho is actually the lowest city on the face of the earth that is not covered with water. The lowest point. And many individuals would travel this road, so we assume that the gentleman Jesus is referring to is a good Jew. Maybe he's going to Jerusalem for pilgrimage or worship. Maybe he's going on business, but he's traveling back to Jericho. And that particular road, my brothers and sisters, for the Jewish people, had a nickname. It was called the Bloody Pass. Because it was very common for individuals to fall victim to robbers. Because there were a lot of hiding places. And they knew individuals that had great wealth were traveling along that road. And so Jesus sets up this scene. And then we see the individuals who pass by. Because as we are told, the man is beaten by robbers, stripped of his wealth, his clothing, and he's left there half dead in a pool probably of crimson blood. And then the individuals begin to walk by. And many times, my brothers and sisters, we can relate to these individuals because there's the temptation. And the temptation, my brothers and sisters, is to pass on the other side. And oftentimes in life, that's our temptation. To pass on the other side. To not to get involved. It's out of my limits of liability. I am not responsible. And so the priest comes by. And the priest sees the man half dead, and he passes on the other side. And we could argue, well, maybe he had a good reason. Because the Jewish law said that if you touched a corpse, you were unclean for 7 days. And if he was heading to Jerusalem for worship, he would miss his rotation in the temple. But you see, my brothers and sisters, that's the temptation to put piety over charity. To put piety over charity. And oftentimes, we can fall into that temptation. I have my prayer book, and it's this thick. And I say all my prayers every day. I say all my devotions. I genuflect at the proper times. And all that is wonderful and good. But sometimes we put our piety over our charity of reaching out to others who are in need. To reaching out to others who are sitting next to us, to reaching out to others in our family who need to see the face and touch of God. So we pass on the other side. And then the Levite comes. And maybe we could argue, my brothers and sisters, that the Levite saw the man half dead and he didn't know if he was half dead or fully dead. And certainly there was, during that period of time, sort of the ruse that would be used where a robber would pretend he was half dead and a person would go over there, and as he bent over, another robber would pounce on him. So maybe the Levite was looking out for his own safety. So he passes on the other side. But you see, my brothers and sisters, that's the temptation to put ourselves and our own needs and our own wants and me, myself, and I, the ego, before someone else. The temptation to be only concerned about my welfare and what I want to do and what I feel like doing rather than responding to the call to reach out in mercy. And so finally, Jesus ends the parable, as we know, with the Good Samaritan, the foreigner. And I'm sure, my brothers and sisters, that as the individuals were listening to the story, they probably said, oh, there is the Samaritan. He's going to kick him now while he's down. Because he was the foreigner. But to their surprise, it was the foreigner, the Samaritan, who binds his wounds, places him on his animal, takes him to the inn, pays for him to be taken care of. You see, my brothers and sisters, what Jesus is pointing out is this. The young scholar of the law was really asking the wrong question. He asked, who is my neighbor? What Jesus was reminding him and us is that the real question is, who am I? Because if I know who I am, created in the image and likeness of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus, to love God above all things and to love my neighbor as myself, if I know who I am, then I know who my neighbor is. And that's anyone the Lord puts in my path this day. Anyone who is in need of mercy. Anyone in my life this day who I need to reach out to. Maybe I'm estranged from. Or maybe I'm angry with. Or maybe it's just someone that I'm passing in the street or at the store who just needs a simple smile. You see, my friends, it's only in knowing who we are that we're able to truly define who our neighbor is. Because if not, we're always looking for the limits of our liability, the limits of our moral culpability of when I no longer have to respond to someone who is in need. There was a true story that I read some time back about a man by the name of Ray Hamley. Ray Hamley was fighting in World War II, and he was a British soldier, and he was flying a bomber that hit a small town in Germany, Kleve. Now, German is not too good, so that might not be the correct pronunciation, but just go along with me. And so, when he dropped the bombs, he and his crew, it destroyed the railroad station, which was the target. It destroyed the Nazi factories, that was the target. But it also destroyed the town church, which was not the target. And after hitting the church, Ray felt a little bad. But he said to himself, it is war and mistakes happen and that's just the way it is. And so he just sort of went on with his life. He returned back to London after the war. He married his high school sweetheart. They had their children and life went on. And then many years later, someone handed him a newspaper clipping. And in the newspaper clipping, it was a story about this little town in Germany, which was on the border of Germany and Holland, and how they were rebuilding their church that was destroyed during the war, St. Mary's. And at that point, Ray remembered what happened. He went up to the attic, he got his old law book, and he remembered that he was the one who was the pilot of the plane that destroyed that church. And he had the temptation to pass on the other side, just to forget about it. It's not my problem, it's war. The Nazis bombed innocent children in London and Warsaw. We just move on. But he didn't. He wrote a letter to the mayor of that little town asking for forgiveness for what had happened during the war. And to his surprise, he received a response. Not only did the mayor offer forgiveness, but the mayor invited him to return for the dedication of the church. And once again, he was tempted to pass on the other side. He didn't know if he could face those people. And so he didn't respond to the mayor's letter. A few months went on, and he received another letter. This time from the parish priest of St. Mary's, with 500 signatures of the parishioners, inviting him to come to the dedication of the church. And he went. And it was a beautiful story of reconciliation, mercy, and charity. Who is my neighbor? My brothers and sisters, the more important question is, who am I? And if I get that question wrong, I'll never be able to discern who my neighbor is.